When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Wow, Matt, fellow adventurers. We are back with Sir Croakington, and we are still in the maze, in Taguox's perilous maze, looking for the third of the small bronze gems. Which apparently if we get all three, well, something nice will happen, and we'll be more prepared for returning to Sarngard Island. And maybe he just wants to see what we do. And yeah, we're on the three floors. I'm in the middle floor, down the stairs. Fine, down the stairs. Taking great care with every step. Descend deeper into Taguox's perilous maze. You're standing at the base of a broad set of broad steps that climb to the higher level. Taguox's deadly maze. So, we're now on an 8 that's right side up this time, rather than on its side. And we've got alcoves in the northwest, northeast, southwest, southeast. And there's question marks to the east and west. I'm going to go east and see what one of those question marks is. Suddenly, it takes you only a split second to realise that you've stumbled upon a deadly snare. Without warning, the walls on either side of the passage shoot out towards you. Picking a number. Bonus of 49. 19 from thievery, 20 from agility, 10 from luck. Got to get 75 or more or be utterly crushed. Pick now. 77, success, but only dust. 64 experience to general. A remarkable display of skill and agility. You managed to dodge the deadly snare. I'm not sure how, because the whole wall is moving. Maybe I just quickly moved on to the bit of the wall that isn't closing in on me. Yeah, that's probably what happened. Now, mindful that you need to remain ever on your guard in these passages, you quickly resume your mission, eager to retrieve the three gems and escape from this perilous maze. Okay. The clank of metal plates and the groan of heavy joints fills the passage as the fearsome sight looms into view out of the pale light ahead. The towering being of bronze, easily 12 feet tall, stomps towards you along the corridor. As the bronze behemoth draws near, the deadly guardian of Taguox's maze raises his massive hammer. Begin combat. Now I guess with that hammer it's a bit easier to go down to keep swinging all the way down to the level Sir Croakington is at. Ooh, and this one, unlike the previous two, it has its description. The bronze guardian swings its massive hammer at you. Keep going. And slain. 136 experience for a random encounter. There's so much. I mean, if you could just wander around here for a while and get more XP from that than you'd get from doing hours of regular grinding. Okay, probably not hours. I mean, you can do a Hall of Ruin one and get about 10,000, but still. Something to consider, at least. The Bronze Guardian drops to its knees as its massive hammer slips from its grasp and lands on the floor with an echoing clang. Then, with a loud series of creaks, the strange being collapses into a heap of bent metal, Guess that's more work for the goblins or whatever keeps making these things to do. Sorry about that, but I do appreciate your work. After making certain there are no more of the guardians nearby, you spend a few moments checking over your equipment before once again setting off through the giant's deadly maze. Alright, going along the north side, back to the other question mark to the west of this entrance. Suddenly, it takes you only a split second to realise you've stumbled upon a deadly stair. A sharp crackle echoes along the corridor as long, waving tines of blue energy erupt from the floor along this entire section of passage. I like that each trap is different here. I mean, often when you encounter traps in a dungeon, it's the same trap. It's the same type of traps over and over again. And, well, it gets a little bit boring. But of course, if it gets a bit boring, you just click through it. Because it's text-based, there's an instant solution to that. If you've read the text before, you don't have to read it again. You just have to know, yep, this is a thing I've seen before, and click through. Can't really get that as much with a fancy-smancy AAA game where you're just going, do-do-do-do-do-do-do, waiting for the cutscene to end. And even if you skip the cutscene, it still takes about half a minute to load the next scene anyway. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. I've seen this stuff before. Alright, picking a number. Bonus of 49. 19 from thievery, 20 from agility, 10 from luck. Got to get 75 or more, or the outcome will be quite shocking. Pick now. 144 success. 64 experience to general. In a remarkable display of skill and agility, you managed to dodge the deadly snare. Now, mindful that you need to remain ever on your guard in these passages, you quickly resume your mission, eager to retrieve the 3 gems and escape from this perilous maze. Alright, I'm just going to keep going around the edge of this bit dungeon. Alright, I've gone around all the way around the 8. No, and I want to go clockwise. Because that's the wise way to do it. That's why clocks do it. It's another bronze guardian. I'm going to begin combat. I'm just going to keep fighting until I get the special. Devastating blow for 32 damage. Okay, I've seen all I... read all I can read from that battle. And slain. 136 experience, which is very, very nice. It's another one of those bronze guardians. As the bronze guardian draws near, the deadly guardian of Tarakox's maze suddenly adopts a bright red glow and raises its massive hammer. It's a bronze guardian, and it's glowing. Begin combat. The bronze guardian swings its massive hammer at you. Because that's what hammers are for, swinging at things. It is slain, another 136 XP. The bronze guardian drops to its knees as its massive hammer slips from its grasp and lands on the floor with an echoing clang. Clung, 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 clung. Then, with a loud series of creaks, the strange being collapses into a heap of bent metal. The glow, still animating from the remains of the metal guardian, suddenly intensifies before slowly fading. As the last faint remnants of the glow vanish, the phantasmal likeness of a bronze-hued gem appear above the destroyed defender, only to disappear a split second later. After making sure, certain there are no more of the guardians nearby, you spend a few moments checking over equipment before once again setting off through the giant's deadly maze. All right! We've got the aura of gem detection. Now we can detect which gem is the wheel gem, but actually none of them are. But which gem will lead to the wheel gem? Northwest corner. In the centre of this small alcove, suspended in midair, is a large bronze-hued gem. The massive, eye-shaped stone rotates slowly, casting its pale glitter off the surrounding walls. Suddenly, The suspended gem flares brightly, dazzling you with the brilliance of the bronze light that floods its many facets. Moments later, when the glow fades, there is no longer any sign of the floating gem. You suddenly realise the defeat of the glowing guardian on this level of Takarok's maze has likely played a role in hoping you identify the real gem. With your spirits buoyed by this realisation, immediately prepare to continue your mission and resume your exploration. Alright, it's not that one. Alright, southwest. Suddenly again. Alright, that one also disappears the same way as before. Alright, onto the southeast one. Examine the carefully spinning gem. Hoping to discover something that will indicate whether or not the gem suspended in wind air before his wheel, you carefully study the glittering stone, picking a number, bonus of 40, 40, 20 from Akania, 20 from Aura, got 100 or more, and confirm that it's the wheel one. I know it's the wheel one because it didn't disappear. Pick now. 101, success. After carefully examining the gem, you're almost certain it's wheel. Attempt to take the spinning gem. You carefully reach towards the spinning gem and attempt to take possession of it. You breathe a sigh of relief as your fingers close around the solid form of the spinning gem. As you take possession of the curious stone, you're shocked when it suddenly melts away in your grasp and vanishes. A low pulsing hum and a bright white light now fill the alcove. In the centre of the alcove, over the very spot on which the spinning gem previously floated, halts a glowing portal. The bright white gate, its spinning jaw like the churn, its churning core like the eye of a great storm emits a low pulsing hum. Step into the glowing portal. The instant you step into the glowing portal, your surroundings change. I'm now in a new place. You're standing on a wide stony path that twists its way along a bleak landscape, strewn with boulders and heaps of shattered rock. A thick, grey ceiling of clouds churns endlessly in a dim, sunless sky above. Behind you, hovering only inches above the ground, is the glowing portal for which you entered this strange well. Okay. A violent tremor shook beneath you. Your feet sends you staggering backwards, only seconds before the cold ground suddenly explodes, showing with dirt and rubble. A hulking creature of stone, vaguely humanoid in appearance, rises out of the newly formed crater and attacks, bellowing loudly as it swipes at you with its broad fists. As the stone creature begin combat. The hulking stone creature swats at you with its massive fists, and one of them hits, dealing a devastating blow for 35 damage. And then for 29 damage. Keep going. 18 damage devastating. 32 devastating. And slain. 73 experience. You spend several moments recovering from the fight and check over your equipment before once again preparing to set off along the path. Alright, no particular special attack there. Pity, but rising out of the middle of this section of the path is a large block of grey stone. The passage is mainly just a big, yes, snaky passage, but this path, the passage I'm in, is a little shortcut between the first and second coil. This lock plate bears a pentagonal keyhole. Don't have any keys to put in it yet. Another stone creature. Just going to quick combat that. Another 73 experience. Stone creature. Quick combat. 73 experience. You spend several moments recovering from the fight and checking over your equipment before once again preparing to set off along the path. Suddenly, at the edge of the path, tucked under some of the strewn shattered remains of the slain being of stone, you find an engraved bronze key. Realising the curious item must hold some importance, you promptly take possession of it. It's an engraved bronze key. This bronze key bears an engraving that depicts a 15-fingered hand. With the key now safely in amongst your other belongings, you once again resume your trek along the path. Sorry about the yawning bit. Alright. Following the main twisty bit? Question mark. The edge of this section of the path sits a broad, thick slab of stone. The smooth surface of the slab is unmarred in any way. That's probably going to unlock if the other two bits or any root. The other two times are closed, that will unlock once I've done something with the keys and these grey stones. Right, and now between the third and the fourth row, no, second and third, hexagonal keyhole, particular item may be of use here. Is it now? Yeah, no, not yet. Despite your best effort, the key doesn't seem to fit into the oddly shaped keyhole. Alright, another stone creature. Just going to quick combat that. 73 experience. Take it some time to heal. Alright, I'd done this earlier. I would not have risked actually fighting the incredibly tough thing. Although, admittedly, I've not even used a quick stone yet, so. And the way I'm playing it, I've either got several uses out of the quick stones because they reset every day, even if you're in the middle of a thing. Right, following the passage along, the outer edge passage that just does an S-y twist, directly north of the entrance, it's another stone creature. Just going to quick combat it. And 73 experience. And keep following along, another stone creature. Quick combat, 73 experience. Do a bit of healing. Alright, there's something between the third and fourth row. The question mark. Rising out of the middle of this section of the path is a large block of grey stone. A bronze lock plate is set in the centre of the top of the lock. The lock plate bears a circular keyhole. Give it an engraved bronze key. Despite what you initially assumed would be an odd fit, the bronze key fits snugly into the strangely shaped hole and snaps into place. With a careful twist, you gently turn the key. The result is a sharp click. Much to surprise, the moment you remove the key, the hole set into the face of the block vanishes, and 16 XP as well. Now I keep following the twisty passage just northwest of there. It's another stone creature. Just going to quick combat that one too. Another 73 experience. Alright, and then a bit northwest of that on the top row, a towering, fine entangled statue of a hulking stone figure stands in the middle of this section of the path. Countless bones from a vast myriad of creatures lie strewn about the foot of this gruesome monument. While you realise you could attempt to step around the statue and continue on your way, you remain uncertain of the wisdom of such a course. In fact, I know it's a bad idea because, like most statues, it comes to life and tries to kill you. That's just what statues do. So be wary if anyone wants a statue of themselves. They want it to come to life and kill you. Yes. That's the only reason anyone has ever built statues ever. Apparently. Why you realize it? Alright, I'm going to step past the statue and continue along the path. The moment you approach the statue, the massive monument stirs to life. Before you can retreat along the path, the deadly stone guardian of this strange realm unleashes a fearsome attack. It's a living stone statue, and this is grey difficulty. With a character that's unfeasibly stronger than any character than any but the most donatee of donors could be when this came out. Because this is a ridonkulously tough fight. Unless, you know, you use various tricks or super strong. And you can't even spam it with magic. Begin combat. Living Stone statue swats at you with its massive fists. Devastating blow for 29 damage. Right, use 3 Quickstone 20s in a row. Doesn't even really make that much difference. Alright, gonna use the Wand of Dragonfire. Just 92 damage. Well, that was very disappointing. Alright, just keep going. Can't use magic because anti-magic aura. So if I want to heal, I'm going to have to use the Quick Stone. Well, that's it. What about the Finger of Dread? An overpowering sense of dread comes over you as you level the finger at your enemy. Your foe takes 166 points of damage. The powerful aura of fear that surrounds the finger has taken its toll on you. You take 33 points of damage. The Finger of Dread has 2 uses left before its 3 Oryx bands disintegrate. And it keeps swatting at me with its massive fists. I go into a battle rage. Okay, that's good. Just keep knocking down the health. Now I'm out of the battle rage, but did a few blows to it in the interim. Alright. Once I get below 50 health, I'll use the Quick Stone, because that's the only method of healing I've got. Quick Stone repeats the 20. Very nice. Just a bit more damage. Alright, I'm down to 28 health. One more devastating will kill me and lose, well, what's been several hours of, nearly 2 hours of progress. Obviously, it'd be a bit quicker the second time round, but still. Quick Stone. The Quick Stone shimmers and grows bright red as it fully heals you. Thank you, Quick Stone. Devastating blow for 28, then 33. Keep going. It's down to 22% now. I'm pretty sure I'm going to finish it off. And then I'm still going to get the Path of Safety just because it's there. Even though I don't need it anymore. Devastating blow for 23 damage. Lots of devastating blows. 3%. 2%. 1%. Still 1%. Slain! Woohoo!
Save big on all your Halloween needs, all in the Kroger app. Get juicy red, green, or black seedless grapes for 99 cents a pound. Then get tender USDA Choice boneless beef chuck roast for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
14 experience. That is literally the lowest possible experience it could give me. You got 1 experience for the actual fight, and then 13 experience for the difficulty. The enchantment of Metal helped you avoid 2 rolls of 1, and the enchantment of Devastation helped you score 4 rolls of 20, and it may well have started off a battle wage, which would be very nice. And 1024 experience to general. With the sharp sound of splintering stone rising into the air, the massive living monument crumples into a heap of rubble. Hopelessly weary in the wake of your victory, you spend several minutes recovering from the brutal fight. With the path ahead now clear, you prepare to resume your exploration. And also, because I used the Quick Stone, the post-combat heal heals most of the damage I took. And unlike in the original plan, it stays done. It stays gone. When this first came out, they didn't stay gone. And you could just fight it again and 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 again. And get a ridiculous amount of health. And just hope it doesn't finish you off. Probably have to use the Hail Blade, which I haven't even bought with me. Maybe I didn't even buy at all. Maybe it's sitting in my residence. Maybe it's still in Brynevere's. Not quite sure. Maybe I'll check later. Probably should have it handy for such circumstances where you're going through a very long series of combats against things where a few extra MR won't make any real difference. Which is admittedly most of the combats. Because it's pretty rare to encounter something that isn't a 3+. In fact, that's probably one of the few non-free pluses I've encountered in the game, which wasn't a scale to be an 18 plus pretty much no matter what you do, or B, scales thus your MR doesn't really matter. That's one of the few fights I've gone in where my melee weighting has actually mattered and actually made. And a few points of melee weighting here or there would make a difference in the fight. Most of the fights I've been in, it wouldn't matter. Alright, and here's the pentagonal keyhole. Use the bronze key. Despite what you initially assumed would be an odd fit, the bronze key fits snugly into the strangely shaped hole and snaps into place. With a careful twist, you gently turn the key. The result is a sharp click. Much to your surprise, the moment you remove the key, the hole sets into the face of the block. Stone block vanishes, 16 XP to general. Alright, now for the last of the stones with the keyholes. This is a hexagonal keyhole. Use the bronze key. Despite what you initially assumed would be an odd fit, the bronze key fits firmly, snugly into the strangely shaped hole and snaps into place. With a careful twist, you gently turn the key. Result is a sharp click. Much to surprise, the moment you remove the key, the hole set into the face of the stone block vanishes. And there we are, 16 XP to general. Now to the formerly blank stone. The edge of this section of the path sits a broad, fixed slab of grey stone. A key-shaped impression has been carved in the centre of the slab. Now, if I put the key in, a path of safety will be unlocked. But I don't need that anymore because I unnecessarily fought my way past the ridiculously tough fight. So tough that even a much later endgame character like Sir Croakington needed to use a quick stone to get past it. Wait, was it two quick stones? Let's look at my quick stone, quick stone, quick stone, quick stone, quick. No, still, you had to just use one heal, not two. So when it came out, even to do the first one, most characters would have to use both quick stone hits, probably all three finger dread charges, and possibly a few wand of dragon fire goes at it as well, making it a completely impractical grind spot for anyone who could ever really have any use for that XP. But I mean, it makes the number bigger, and everyone likes making numbers bigger. Right, the end of the passage. As you reach the end of the meandering path, you are drawn to a warm, bronze-hued glow from somewhere up ahead. There, resting on the ground at the very end of the path you've been following, it's a small, glowing, bronze-coloured gem. Through much smaller than a suspended gem that led you to this strange realm, the tiny stone appears identical in every way. Though initially wary of just reaching out and taking the gem, a careful examination of the immediate area, an inspection of the stone itself helps to set your mind at ease. Well, I've already passed trials to get to it, and thought, I could put one more trial in, but that's enough trials. Without further delay, you take possession of the gem. I could have used mind, or I could have used muscle to get here. I used muscle this time. Tiny, tiny toad muscles, which are very, very strong, apparently. Although probably largely helped by just having a magical piece of equipment. The Spruce Smasher, which provides 35 melee rating. Which makes it, by quite a margin, the best free piece of equipment in the game. You probably could get something better than that at Tally's, but it would cost a lot of adventure tokens, which you probably could have got by the whole Wheel of Cubes thing, but still. Tiny bronze huge gem. And that's three of them now. That's all I need. The instant your fingers close around the pebble-sized stone, your surroundings change. You're standing in the alcove in which you first encountered the spinning gem, and more recently the glowing portal. With the gem you obtained in the realm beyond the portal now safe in your possession, you once again prepare to set off through the maze. Alright, I'm going to make my... another bronze guardian. Quick combat. 136 experience. I'm just going to pointlessly go around so I can get into another fight. Another 136 experience. Alright, taking the stairs. Time to kill Chakarok so I have his gem. Fire up the next stairs. We're now at the first level. To the middle, call out for Chakarok. With a firm, clear voice, you call out for Chakarok. Chakarok. Only a few short moments later, your call is echoed by the thundering voice of the giant as it echoes along the dimly lit passage, seemingly from every direction. So you've done it! Booms the deep, resonating voice of the bronze giant. As if your success was ever in doubt! A strange, unsettling feeling comes over you as everything suddenly goes black. Tagrock's thundering laughter echoes all around you as the darkness lifts and you find yourself standing at the feet of the towering bronze giant. He smiles and asks you to give him the three gems. You promptly comply with the demand. He's got them. Chakarok studies the gems for several moments before placing it into a pouch that hangs from his skull-adorned chain belt. A pouch that is easily large enough to hold a small ogre. Oh dear. It'd be so easy to lose those very small gems in that very large pouch. Maybe he has a goblin in there to help him find them. You're indeed ready for what lies ahead, he says, turning his softened gaze back to you. For that does not suggest that what lies ahead is going to be easy. The place you'll soon visit, that being Sarngard, of course, is both wondrous and terrible in so many ways. But you are ready. You have always been ready. You suddenly become aware of the ferocity of Tagrox's stare. The giant's shining blue eyes look like glittering jewels in the pale light of the cavernous hall. You have seen me before, he says, fidgeting with the pouch. Or at least I believe you have. For I dare say you would not now, Wormbrain. Was he the guy we met? We met a guy with glowing blue eyes on the occasion that the joust was called off. Could that be him? I mean, it sort of randomly turning up in the middle of serious events like that. Totally believe in doing that. At least I believe you have. For I dare say you would not now remember it. That was another time and place. For no less perilous than that which you now occupy. You've already done great things, Sir Croakington. But there is so much more to accomplish. Let it begin here and now. The great giant opens the pouch on his belt, and a dazzling bronze-hued light fills the corridor. Strange, indistinct shapes seem to swim through the light as it washes over you before swiftly fading. Your melee weighting has been permanently increased by 2! Your stamina points have been permanently increased by 3! And your Neville reserve has been permanently increased by, well, just 1, but it's Neville reserve, so it's actually, in a way, more valuable than the other two. Because in most circumstances, you can use Neville reserve to get yourself out of any problem where the other two aren't high enough. Because, of course, you could use Neville reserve to heal yourself. Or if your melee rating was low, you could use Neville Reserve to just blast them away with magic. And of course, if you're in a long combat sequence, you get more healing. And if you're in a long sequence of anything, you get just more time to do everything. Of course, the only time where you really burn through your entire Neville reserve is 1, you try to do too many layers of the Whacker's Mad at once, or 2, the battleground challenges, because those just keep going on and on and on and on until you run away or it kills you. I've given you nothing, says Tagiwox, smiling. I've only unlocked that which has always been within you. Well, still, thank you. Tagiwox motions with his left hand to the passage behind you. Almost at once, a sharp crackling sound fills the corridor, and you turn to find the energy wind portal once again hovering at the edge of the hall. The bronze giant shrugs, then laughs. I ask that you take care, Sir Croakington, he says, his voice rolling through the passage like the rumble of distant thunder. I can't really do a voice like that. And also, it's late at night, so I'm recording this, or if I did that, it'll probably disturb people. I wish you good luck on the island. Wisdom and skill. Supplant luck in almost every instance, of course. But I know good fortune never hurt anyone. Perhaps we'll meet again on those shores. Hurry. Your way home is beginning to disappear. Oh, so you use your regular close. You use portals with regular closing speed. Not the portals of Lady Slow Portals. You bid the giant farewell, then, taking one last look along the cavernous hall, you turn and step back into the swirling core of the magical gate. Everything goes black. A split second later, the darkness melts away, and I once again find yourself standing in the alley in which you first encountered the portal. A sharp crackle from behind you, followed by silence, signals the closing of the energy wind portal. You turn to find only thin wisps of smoke and a rapidly fading wing of haze hovering over the spot previously occupied by the magical gate. It's probably a gaze as well. Much as you had expected, there was no sign of the dark-haired woman to be had anywhere along the alley. She's probably skedoodled off to somewhere, perhaps to do more crime. And possibly somehow end up with me getting involved in it again. As you turn to make your way back out of the wider avenue, your thoughts return to the bronze giant Tagiwox. Despite your inability to recall precisely where you've seen his shining blue eyes before, you remain certain your recent encounter was not the first instance in which you've come under that fierce gaze. You also wonder his description of the dark-haired woman as a thief, and what implications that revelation may hold for the future. Stepping out of the alley and onto the street, you suddenly realise that dusk has draped its cloak of gloom over the Witherport. If you're not yet in violation of the city's strictly imposed curfew, you've no desire to run afoul of it, even though I'm pretty sure I'll get off perfectly fine, what with being best friends of the Fane and everything, but I think it's better for him, really, to not be shown to give special favours to anyone who's his friend. So, merely for his sake, I obey the curfew, just so he can say the law is the law is the law. Except for these few exceptions, but those are written as part of the law. Not something I made up on the spot just because someone happened to be my friend. Or spend any longer than is strictly necessary on the darkening streets of the Adderstone. And also, of course, I have illusion magic and shadow magic and lots more magic. And I am thievery skill is... No, it's before the weapon. Thievery skill is a master thief. Probably with a bit of work, she could probably get herself up to Grandmaster without really even tipping into the general XP amount. Heading off along the lane, keen to reach the warmth of a fire, you begin to contemplate your next task, and promptly decide that it will be a journey to the shores of Sarngard Isle. Intrigued by Tagiwox's repeated mention of the island, and eager to reunite with Atherwok, the reason that you attempt the crossing of the Sarn before it is fully in the grip of the encroaching season. A sudden, chilling thought comes before your mind as you hasten down the deserted lane that runs along the quayside. Despite your best efforts to discard the thought, you're unable to ignore the fleeting, dreamlike notion you've already set foot on the Forbidden Isle. Well, that's a wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey thing. And then, that is the end of this adventure. At last, with 5,120 experience to general, pretty nice, and 512 experience to all skills and powers, very nice, and no new adventures are unlocked by doing that, so there is of yet no return to Sarngard adventure. So what will we do next is the question. Now, admittedly, over the next small while, I will be returning to the Withered Hills, because something is going down there, which I guess you'll see when the event comes out. And, let's see. Adventures. No, we've done Withered Secrets. Let's see. A Grim Proposal. I kind of want to skip that one. Same for Whispers, because that involves doing crime. Okay, let's see. Distant Eyes and Silent Wars. Urgo's Trail with the Secrets. That's one we've done before, but I didn't save. So I'll probably do that again, just so it's off the list, but it won't be on mic. And also a Wayward Payment. I'm pretty sure I've done that before, but since it was a crimey thing, I didn't save. So that's just going to be... So Wayward Payment, whispers and a grim proposal are just going to stay, on this list because they're crime ones. But so, and Wither Secrets will be locked off, but next time. So the two ones to do are Distant Eyes and A Silent War, and Ur Ghost Trail. You know what? Distant Eyes and A Silent War. That will be the next adventure. Whatever that involves. And until then, farewell, fellow adventurers.
I'm so sorry I'm late. I was just talking to my sister about protecting abortion rights.
Wait, didn't we already do that in Ohio? We passed issue 1 last year.
I know, by a wide margin too. But now it's up to our state Supreme Court to decide whether they enforce it or ignore it.
Ignore it? Will they really do that?
They will if we don't keep extremists out of the court. But we can protect our rights by electing Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that. Listen, I can barely remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
Here's a trick. All you have to do is remember, don't stop fighting.
Don't stop fighting. Oh, I get it. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, Forbes. I love that.
Tell everyone you know, if you supported issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue, a community of women who care about reproductive rights as much as you do.